Our first reading can be found on page 1233 if you're working from the Bible in a pew, but I think it will also be on the screen. It's from Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads these words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67, and can be found, if you have the Bibles, the church Bibles, on page 1027. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from the heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Christ.
do take a seat. Let us pray before I open those passages from Luke. Father God, may the words I speak be those you want heard. May our hearts and minds and our ears be ready to receive from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I was younger, as a child, I never came to these services of Holy Communion on Christmas Eve, fearful that if I wasn't tucked up in bed, Father Christmas wouldn't come. And there I was doing the best job ever to try and at least pretend that I was asleep. The glass of milk downstairs with the mince pies and the carrots left out, and the stocking, which really was a stocking in my day, a thick black netted stocking with what looked like a string through it, nothing like the colour and the size of those that you can buy today, was hung at the end of my bed, and myself and my brother, they're trying to sleep. It wasn't until I was an adult and able to leave the house once my children were asleep that I came to a midnight service such as this to discover the joy of stepping from the period of Advent, the time of preparation, into the joyful day of Christmas, when the light enters the darkness in the middle of the night. And we can say for the first time to one another, Merry Christmas. A time to celebrate this evening. And may I add my welcome to Sally's earlier to this service, to all of you who gather here this evening to share together at the Lord's table and to celebrate ahead of the festivities and excitement of tomorrow morning. Zechariah's song, which we just had read to us from the book of Luke, are the words said by a man who had been unable to speak for a period of 9 months. This was the duration of his wife's pregnancy. He had been struck mute by the angel Gabriel when he questioned doubtfully that this pregnancy could be true. Perhaps through his shock or maybe disbelief of finding his elderly wife, who he describes as getting on in years, was actually pregnant. Following his son's birth, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And here in this song, he celebrates the moment 8 days after the birth when they're about to name the baby. Zechariah had written the name on a tablet, John, and his voice returns. Now, Christmas is a time of raising voices in song, isn't it? Whether it's to see who the X Factor winner is, or the radio churning out the old Christmas classics. I've even heard this year that there's a competition called Whamageddon. Has anybody else heard of this? No, it must be. Well, apparently, you have. Great. Apparently, this is where you see how close you can get to Jesus, am I right? To Christmas, am I right? Without hearing George Michael's Last Christmas. Is that right? That's the one. Well, I didn't do very well. It was right at the beginning of December that I heard it. And those words get stuck in your head, don't they? And then stay with you forever. And then you're singing it over and over again. Or perhaps it's to hear the Christmas number one. This year, the song, I believe, is We Built This City on Sausage Rolls. Very Christmassy. And completely depicting the true meaning of Christmas, I'm sure. Well, maybe not directly, but it is a record that was released for a bit of fun. A bit of fun. And is raising money for a charity. A very worthy cause, actually. I think it's the Trussell Trust, isn't it, which helps people with food parcels and food banks at this time of year. So those people that we need to remember, the poor and the needy at this time, where Christmas perhaps isn't as it is for many of us. Perhaps for you it has been attending a child's nativity where they belt out the words of Little Donkey with such gusto, or singing at one of our carol services across the parish. The singing of Christmas carols is one way of being present in the Christmas story. Have we perhaps sung them so often that we've stopped seeing the deep, deep truth that's shared there? We can go Christmas shopping or turn on the TV and easily miss seeing any part of the account of Jesus' birth. The shops are packed with brightly coloured lights and food and gifts. But have you stopped to count how many times you may have seen Jesus depicted or even mentioned? However, in many stores, they still play carols, and you may have heard them or you may have missed them in the hustle and bustle. Which one is your favourite? Why is it your favourite? Is it the tune or the memories that it conjures up? Is it the sense of joy that it brings to you, knowing that you're a part of history, where these songs have been passed down through generations and shared across the world, and they're now intertwining with our Christmas day? Zechariah's song was sung over 2,000 years ago, before the birth of the baby Jesus, a powerful prophecy of the baby which was being carried in Mary's womb. Still shared today and recited by many, this prayer known as the Benedictus. And verses 77 to 79 sum up the good news story, the gospel, the good news, the reason for the birth of Jesus, which Zechariah's son John was born to prepare the way for. And these verses flow through the carols that we've sung and are about to sing this evening. Knowledge of salvation, forgiveness of sins, mercy, shining light into darkness, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Just two verses of Zechariah's song laying out the mandate for Jesus' ministry, which John is to prepare the people for. The words, "Our eyes at last shall see him through our own redeeming love, for that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above." Those are the words we've just sung from Once in Royal David City, and remind us just who this baby Jesus is. A baby, yes, but God with us. Emmanuel, the Son of God, born that we may know God, in flesh, in human form, he walked and he talked like we do. We can never say that he doesn't know what it's like to be human, because he did. He lived a life just as we live a life. He knew what temptation was. He knew what it was to lose someone. He knew what it was to love. He showed us how to love, because God is love. Through his tender mercy being set among us, we can come to know him. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. And we've sung that from Silent Night. And grace and mercy. Grace, the gift we don't deserve, but we still receive at no cost to ourselves. And mercy, the compassion given to someone who deserves the complete opposite. Redeeming grace that comes from the light of the world, who carried all of our sinfulness to the cross that we may receive forgiveness. The light of the world who came to light a path to show us another way. And now for a bit of a spoiler, later we're going to sing Joy to the World, where it says, he rules with grace and truth. Hear more grace. It comes again and again. It's given again and again. And all we need to do is accept it. And our final hymn, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Jesus, the Word, in flesh as a baby, grew as a man to guide our feet to the path of peace. Every year, my children ask me what I want for Christmas. And every year, they get more and more frustrated with me as I answer, world peace. And this year, my daughter said, what do you want for Christmas? And don't say world peace, because I can't actually buy that in the shop, Mum. In fact, she actually texted it to me this year because she didn't want me to answer. And my response was, no, you're right, darling, we can't. But we can start with our part of the world. But can you imagine the eye rolling I got from a disgusted look on a teenager's face at that? It wasn't the answer she'd been looking for. And she's off about to go shopping with her dad. Mum wants world peace again, she says. But this is exactly what Zechariah came and sang about. What John would be paving the way for, and what Jesus came to say. No, she's right. My daughter's right. We can't do it all on our own. We can't buy it in the shops in a box with instructions ready to go. We only need to watch the news to confirm that. But we can invite Jesus in this Christmas time and experience that peace for ourselves, knowing that we are forgiven, that he did come to save us, that he does bring light into dark corners of the world, and that we are loved beyond all comprehension. And when we receive that gift of grace, the one that we don't deserve, we too can go and spread that into the lives of others. Perhaps not that packaged in a nice box with a bow kind of peace, but certainly a start and definitely an opportunity to receive peace in our own lives from the Prince of Peace who came to save. Amen.